Donna Ed, I want y'all to listen closely to this because I think it's important.
Back when, well, oh, I'm not going to go into a long story, never mind. We got this email thing that called U.S. Pray 100. It's for praying for the president for the first 100 days in office. They're going to start it actually tomorrow. And if you want to get updates on how to pray for him specifically daily, like the meetings he's coming in into or whatever, that's what it's going to do. It's going to be kind of like a little short devotional. I mean, they're short. I've been getting emails from this place for a long time, but we had a thing we could download, but it didn't work out. So I'm just telling you about it. If you want to do it starting tomorrow, if you want to get their set a text alert, you would text to 74303, and they'll send you them through text. Yeah, 74303. And if you want to go online and read about this, well, there's a two-minute video that tells about it. You would go to www.uspray, and then the number 100.com. Uspray 100, if you want to get them by email. But this started, it's the presidential prayer team, and it started in 2001. Or something like that, when George W. Bush was put in office. And I started getting their emails then daily to pray for the elected officials, the president, the things going on in the nation's capital that day. And they've been sending them out faithfully ever since. You know, they pray faithfully for our past president for the last 8 years and don't intend to stop now. So anyway, if you want to do that for the next 100 days, that'll be how to get that information.
Y'all been getting your 40-day fast from wrong thinking? Is it blessing you? I know because I get it real good because I've got me typing is a joke. Sometimes Don will do it for me, but it's one finger, really. I'm not even two-finger typer. So when the voice thing works, it's cool. But as y'all know, one time I sent a voice text that, woo, everybody let me know within about 3 seconds what you notice. I noticed that, so I apologize for that again, that demonic Siri. She's a demon. I'm telling you, I can't believe she said that about y'all. You saw it then, didn't you? Oh, yeah. I've even got it. Are we recording this? I guess. Yeah. No, I'm sure Donna's got it working. I just wanted to make sure it was recording. Check, 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 test, test, test. It is, isn't it? Good. Praise the Lord. I never give a title to messages, but I will give one today, maybe to help you remember it better. And the title is there a need for repentance? Is there a need for repentance? I'm not talking about, well, we'll get into that. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank him. Hold your hands up. Thank him that you've got a copy. He loved you enough to make sure you got a copy. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got a whole cases of them back here in the food pantry room. So, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Amen. I thank you for the word of God, Lord. It contains everything I need to live righteously and holy and victorious in the name. It's everything we need. Praise the Lord. And I really don't have to explain it, but you give us revelation and tell us what to focus on, God. So, Lord, I pray that we could focus for the next few minutes, and it wouldn't be dull, it wouldn't be dry, it wouldn't be boring, it would be revelation, and it would be living water flowing down from this platform, flowing from out there, God. Just let the rivers of God consume us, God. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to read you a few verses here. And I'm not going to tell you to keep up. If you want to try, you can go to Matthew. But I'm not going to wait for all you to get there. You just can listen later and see if I'm lying to you. But I promise I will not ever intentionally misquote the Word of God. That would be putting myself in a dangerous spot, so I would not do that. But the definition of repentance is, you know, when I was younger, I thought it meant guilt and shame and all this kind of thing. You know, that's what you'd feel. It would make you, really, the definition of repentance is to change your mind. To change your mind, to repent, to change one's mind for the better, heartily to amend with abhorrence one's past sins. With abhorrence. Well, that's kind of wordy, but that means sometimes you weep. How many of y'all wept when you come to the altar the first time? You realize what you were, that you were lost, praise the Lord for tears. But some of y'all didn't have a tear in your eye, but it don't mean you didn't repent. God don't go by emotions, you know. He doesn't go by emotions. We're all built different. So don't gauge your repentance on that. Gauge your repentance on what did you do with it. Did you change? You know, repentance is about change. Amen? It really is. Matthew 3:1-2. So I want to look at the difference. This is all New Testament, so I'm not pulling up Old Testament, which I love the Old Testament. It's got a lot of awesome stuff we need to pay attention to. But John the Baptist prepares the way. Matthew 3:1-2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus, after he was water baptized, after he spent 40 days in the wilderness, the dove came down, something like a dove. The Holy Spirit fell on him. And he was baptized in water. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark 1:14-15. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. Repent, change your mind, and listen to the gospel, obey the gospel, right? Acts. Let's go after it. Let's go when the Holy Spirit fell. Acts 2:36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Acts 3:9-10, "Repent, therefore, and be converted. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many of y'all went to Toronto? Did anybody get to go to Toronto? I got to go to Toronto, but it was kind of, you know, after the main wave and went through there. Toronto was a move of God that most people that went to Toronto were serving God. Most of the people that went to Toronto loved Jesus, but they were dry, they were dull. They needed fire, they needed rain, they needed the water of God, they needed the river of God. Vineyard music was kind of birthed out of that movie. Awesome, some of the most awesome worship and praise music. I think a lot of their albums, Jenny, were they called The Father's Heart. So it was about the Father's heart for you, and it was about the goodness of the Lord and the love of the Lord. It was awesome. There's Jesus, help me with the lady's name. I just saw her with Heidi Baker was a missionary to Africa. Heidi Baker was drained, dead, seeing nothing happen over there. She poured in every day. She poured in and she poured in and she poured in, and she wasn't seeing any fruit. She went to Toronto, got slain in the spirit, and laid in the floor for about a week. And something happened to her. She got a fresh touch from God, and God came on her. Now it's one of the greatest outreaches. I forget how many people I minister to and feed. It's just incredible. Orphanages, and it's just incredible. And if you've ever been around this lady, I saw her at Brownsville one time, and she just stood at the platform. And finally she said, lower still, Lord. And she ended up laying in the floor. And I don't think she preached a word, but the presence of God and the power of God permeated that whole building. So what I'm saying about that is Toronto outpouring was not, it was an outpouring of repentance, because you had to change your mind about the way God did things. You had to make a lot of decisions, but it wasn't repentance of sins. It wasn't like people were walking. Some people got saved there, no doubt, but it was mainly a refreshing. It was a good thing, praise God. It went to England. It spread to England. In fact, everybody that visited there would go somewhere else, and bam, the power of God would hit. But it would manifest in many different ways. Praise God. He doesn't do the same thing in this every place. He knows what we need, doesn't he? It empowered churches to go to where God wanted them to be. Does that make sense? So I went to a holy chapel. Not holy chapel. Holy, maybe it was holy chapel in Brompton, England. And God, there was a, I can't even think of the name of the church. It was a, they had vicars instead of pastors. What's the name of the denomination? It was like Episcopal. It was like that. It Anglican. Thank you. Yes, it was Anglican, which is not known for, it's like liturgy. You read responsively. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not a spirit-filled seeming place. Steve Hill, on his way back to America, stopped in there, and he'd heard about this move, and he ended up in there, and this guy laid hands on him, and he was out. He said, I never fall down. God never moves on me like that. It never happens. And through that, Brownsville was birthed. See, it all started somewhere. It may have started somewhere, probably started somewhere other than Toronto. It started with the Holy Spirit. Praise God, and he poured out his spirit without measure. And so you've got this revival going on, and it's not like the one in Toronto. It's the same Holy Spirit, but God had to do it differently. How many of you know you can't receive the fullness of God when you've got sin in your life? I said you cannot receive the fullness of God if you're walking in sin. I'm not talking about slipping. I'm talking about making a conscious effort to walk in sin. Amen?
There be pastors, there be drug addicts, there be drunks, there be fornicators, there be adulterers, there be murderers. Everybody who comes to this altar for one purpose and one purpose only. Repent. Repent. And he gave the strongest repentance message I've ever heard. Steve Hill poured out his heart. Condemnation. The message was with tears in his eyes, he would call the sinners in. He'd say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come to the altar of God. Come on, if you've got sin in your life. Come on, come on. Up there in the bleachers, come on. I'm coming up there to get you if you don't come. It was a passionate cry for souls. And I'd say, I don't know what the last number was, but I'm thinking 200,000 or 300,000 majority of them were backsliders. The majority of them were people that had prayed a prayer at one time that he was really.
So I went down to school. I got saved at 14, was raised in the church. I loved God. I loved God. But you can ask anybody that knew me back then, I was crying all the time. Constantly crying. And we had a guy that used to make like tease me because I cried all the time. But it wasn't tears of joy. It was tears of I cannot measure up. I cannot get this right. And every day I felt that, okay, if I don't follow this list of steps, then I was away from God and I would go to hell if I died. That's what I thought every day. If I did not get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour or two with God in prayer, then I was separated. And that's the place that I was at. My heart was not to sin. My heart was not to go out and just blow it. My heart was to love God, but I was putting myself under the law and I could not measure up as hard as I tried. And my first semester down at school was, at the time, I thought God tailor-made that whole semester for me because it was about grace. And being raised, my dad's a Methodist pastor, I had never really understood what grace was. It was just unmerited favor. That was how they described it, unmerited favor, which I was like, okay. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Like, that was the extent of the teaching that I had about grace and the understanding. And it was every single class that we had was grace, grace. It's empowering you. You cannot do it on your own, but the grace of God empowers you to walk holy. Amen. The grace of God gives you the desire to do what God wants you to do and the power to do it. And it was life-changing for me. It was life-changing. And so that's what Mark was. It was, I still love the law because it exposes sin in my heart. It exposes things in my life that are, God loves me. He loves me and he wants good for me and he is my father. And he is not going to kick me out of his plan if I stumble and fall. I am my children. I love my children. But if they do something, I'm not going to say, well, you know what? You're not my kid anymore. You're not my kid. I love them, and I always love them, and they're always my child, no matter what they do. But I needed to know that God was for me, and God was empowering me, and God was not, he was not angry and waiting to check me off his list. He was there for me. He wants me to succeed, and he's giving me everything I need to succeed. And last week, so that's where I was coming
Praise
from.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I'm not talking. I think a lot of it, as parents, I think you need to raise your children to know that you love them, because I don't think everybody grew up with that. I mean, not everybody has two parents. Some people are missing a father in their life, and that's a huge vacuum. Without a father, it's hard to know the father's heart. And so I see why I now see why people have condemnation on them sometimes, because I thought, why would anybody think that? Because my dad, Nolan Avery, he didn't hug me and stuff a lot, but I knew. You know, and I told y'all one day, I said, I would get in trouble or I'd get in the worst of my worst, he'd say something like, Mark, it's going to be okay. You know, and that was good. That's all I needed to hear my dad say. It's going to be okay. And that's what I hear God say when things get tough. So it's going to be okay, Mark. It's going to be okay. No matter how bad things get, no matter if people walk away from you or people betray you or whatever it might be, no matter what happens, Mark, it's going to be okay. I have called you. I have a plan for your life. You know, and as long as I know that my dad, and a lot of y'all had good fathers, but some of you don't know what I'm talking about. And that's where you need to pull in to, for God, the Father, God loved the world so much. Praise God that he loved you, even you, Jason, even you, praise God. Not picking on you, brother, at all. You're a hard head just like I was. You were a hard head just like I was. So I can relate to you. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And the reason I say that is this is the altar call. people weeping and wailing and crying and going after God and just, God, forgive me, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. But they don't show you for the next 3 hours after that. People laying in the floor in the river of God and the glory of God and the presence of God and visions and dreams and laughter and crying all at the same time. It was grace. It was mighty. It was powerful. But you got to repent before you can get the presence in the river of God. You won't receive the good things of God unless you feel clean. So you get the blood of Jesus. He forgives you. He washes you. And praise God. That's what repentance is for. It's so times of refreshing can come. It's so you can have the joy of the Lord and keep the joy of the Lord. Amen, Mary? Keep the joy of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. You're going after God. Praise God. Danny's raised up going after God. Praise God. There was 10 or 12 people raw in the prayer room this morning going after God. Hope you're there next week. It's awesome. It's powerful. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You're moving right now out of women's prison at Pee Wee Valley, God. Thank you, God. The power of God is falling in that place right now in Jesus' name. Let me read you something right quick. Revelation 2:29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Revelation 2:16, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Revelation 2:20, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Revelation 3:3, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. That's the church of Sardis. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So, seven churches of Asia, right? Revelations, he's talking to seven. There was seven physical churches. Oh, yeah, did I say Laodicea? There was one there, too. They were the churches then, and they represent probably seven different kinds of churches now, and they represent the churches in the last days. I don't know if you study that or not, but most people believe that. Say this. Jesus said, five churches in Asia needed to repent. So five out of seven needed to repent. Think things have changed? Probably six or seven now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Jesus wants his house to repent so times of refreshing can come. And I believe y'all are one of the two. I really do. We haven't got it together. We're not persecuted yet, praise God. But I believe y'all love Jesus. I believe you're here because you love Jesus. I don't think you're here for no other reason. I know you're not here to make a show. I know you're not here to look at our beautiful carpet and stained glass windows. I know you're not here to get ahead in the business world. You are here because you love Jesus. And I appreciate that. God appreciates that. But the thing is you got to realize five of the seven churches had to repent because they weren't doing the works of God. They weren't doing the will of God. They weren't following the commandments of God. Is that true? Come on, is that true? Say, condemnation is bad. Condemnation leaves no hope, right? Romans 8:1-2, you know it well. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Say, conviction is good. Conviction draws us to a place of freedom. Y'all believe that? Conviction, to be fully convinced, convicted of sin, knowing or getting the revelation you are wrong, listen, but having an opportunity to put it under the blood so Satan can have no place. Slothfulness leads to destruction. Listening to wise counsel leads to reformation. When this guy gave an altar call, almost broke it. When this guy gave an altar call, conviction was so thick, if you'd had a knife, you could cut it out and make squares out of it. I am not exaggerating. But you got to remember, for 2 or 3 hours previous to that were testimonies and worship and praise. So there was prayer going up, there was intercessor, so that place had been God conditioned. Like air conditioning, it had been conditioned and ready for a move of God. Praise the Lord. And then all heaven came down. I know the first time I was there, I found out you could get these little tags that said pastor. Senior pastors could get tags where they could not have to wait in line as long. They had to quit that because everybody was saying they were senior pastors. But anyway, for a while, you could have that little tag on that said senior pastor. Guess what? The first night there, I got a little tag on. And guess what? Pastor Markey got under serious conviction. So Pastor Markey had to go to the altar with senior pastor on, like, what's he did? Is he in adultery? Is he fornicating? Is he doing this? Is he a drunk? You know, you're thinking all this. What's everybody thinking? It's like, who cares? I don't care what they're thinking. What does Jesus think? What does Jesus think? So there was conviction. Conviction of sin. Praise God. Conviction of not being where we're supposed to be. And there's probably 2 or 3 or 4 different kinds of people there, but I know there was 2. Most everybody there was under conviction, unless they'd already got it straightened out before they got there. But some people under conviction, they get angry. They get angry. How dare you say what God said? That's none of your business. You're prying. You ever seen a real powerful evangelistic service and you look around? You're not supposed to look around. But you look around and you'll see tears. You'll see brokenness. And then you'll see people like, and if you got your hands crossed like this right now, don't worry about it. But you know what this means? Body language. I'm not accepting. I'm not. Anything you say, I'm not receiving it. Na 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 na. Still truth. So you've seen, how many of y'all have felt conviction? And they say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on to the altar. Come on to the altar. And you resist. How many of y'all have ever resisted conviction and didn't go to the altar when you knew God was calling you? For whatever reason. But then when you finally let go, what did it feel like? As soon as you moved your feet, it was like, I'm free. I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. Free. Praise God. And it's usually religious people that are ashamed or what would people think? See, I was religious when I was thinking that way. That wasn't right. Religion is hanging around the cross. But I want to I want to pull one thing out of this. Y'all can love me, you can hate me, you can say, well, you'd never hate me. But I thought what it looked like when people are resisting the Holy Spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I think Stephen said, why do you always resist the Holy Spirit like your fathers did and your grandfathers did? Why? And what happened? They stopped their ears, right? They stuck their fingers in their ears and they picked up rocks and said, you're going to die. He was speaking the truth, wasn't he? But truth doesn't always make people happy. In fact, most of the time, and what I want to get here today is you must not be tempted to stray away from speaking the truth. In our society, when you speak the truth, you're labeled as a hypocrite, hater, a what? Bigot, racist, fool. And you are not, and this is a big one, and you are not politically correct. Don't get me wrong. For too long, people's made fun of people that aren't, you know, that are different. They've made fun of people. They've not been right. When I was in school, it was, if you had any kind of defect, and I'm sure I had a bunch, they'd ride you out. But anyway, what I wanted to say from all that was, is, and if y'all don't agree, that's fine. But I just want to tell you what I observed when our new president was making that speech. And you got to admit, it was a woo, woo. Woe unto you, whitewashed tombs. Woe unto you. And I watched the faces, and I saw anger. It just washed over them because they're so used to being pampered and saying, it's okay. It's all right to rip everybody off. It's all right if our country doesn't obey God's laws. That's okay. No. And I want you to know something. He might be the worst president we've ever had, but if he will do, it's going to be the, I really believe we're, who said we were in a, did you say we were in a shifting, somebody's, you said a we are in a shift because I am very encouraged. I want you to know how encouraged I am. Y'all already know it, you know. Praise God they're going to get rid of that Johnson Amendment and we won't lose our tax exempt status. That's okay. But I want to tell you something. I am excited because, number one, Roe v. Wade could get overturned in the next few years. Number one, the blood of the innocents can be removed from this land in Jesus' name. What's that? Got to get that Supreme Court in there, brother. And when he said the scourge of drugs and gangs and all this in the inner city has to be dealt with, I'm like, yes, it should have been dealt with a long time ago. We elect people, we have police officers so we can live peacefully. It's not to be mean, but God has given us authorities, but if they're not doing their job, so when that conviction, I'm just praying that conviction right now will turn into new life on Congress. They'll think about it and go, wow, I don't like him. He's rude, he's crude, but you know what? He's right. He's right. And he's not the most eloquent man that ever walked into anywhere. But if you look at John the Baptist, come on, what did he say? Brood of vipers, drain the swamp. Just as simple as that. What's that got to do with Jesus? Repentance, refreshing. Repentance, revival. If my people, it says when there is famine, when there is pestilence in my land, when I pour out these things, he said, if my people, point to yourself, you're his people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn, repent, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. I will heal their land. I will heal their land. I'll bring unity once again to America. Praise God. It's coming like a flood. I'm just prophesying that to you. We're going to see things this year that are like, whoa! So agree with me, Lord Jesus, if this is your heart, Lord Jesus, I have longed for the day for many, 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 many years. I've been voting for many, 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 many presidents. It started out with Nixon. It went to Ford, Carter, I don't know, Reagan, Bush, 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 Clinton, Clinton. Obama, Obama. And I've prayed all those years that one of them would take a stand and there would be a day when they had a press conference that they would raise their hands and say, hey, bow your heads. We're going to pray before we start this thing. And they will boldly speak in the name of Jesus. They will boldly back up what they believe with the Word of God. And I believe there'll be a day soon where they're reading Scripture in news conferences. State of the nation. We're lost. We're lost. We're lost. We're lost. We need Jesus. No, really. You can't do that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that. This is America. Founded on what? Founded on the Quran? I don't think so. Founded on the Holy Word of God? You bet. I know especially younger generations have been told that they've been told a lot of lies. So God, I thank you for the young people. I thank you for the young people to arise. I thank you for the young people to be bold. I thank you for the young people to, and not just them, us too, God, but Lord, to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, to call out to the Most High God, Jesus, that you would heal our land. And please don't get me wrong, because if I was telling you that Donald Trump's the answer, I'd be idol worshiping. And I don't want, people always let us down, but please pray for this man. Pray for him, whether you like him or not. Pray for him that he'll, and praise God, we've got a vice president that loves Jesus. Man, I know that Mike Pence loves Jesus. And what a cool thing to have somebody in the White House that loves Jesus. And I feel he'll rub off. I think he's already rubbing off. So I'm just really praying that they all went to church this morning. As busy as they are, I pray they made a sign and a wonder, like we're going to church again in Washington. So praise the Lord. If anybody else, you need to repent. You've been thinking wrong. You've been living wrong. You've been acting wrong. Or you just backslid in your heart and you need that fiery, hot, white hot new love. Come up to the altar and just repent. In Jesus' name, that times of refreshing can come. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for repentance. Thank you, Lord Jesus.